Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Hey, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. Mina Kimes going to join us in 20 minutes. We'll talk to her about the KBO, and we'll talk some football with her, obviously. But she is a huge KBO fan, so she's going to help us walk through the KBO, and then we'll talk to her about Cam to the Rams and Raiders and Chargers drafts and all that stuff. We'll get into all that stuff with her. Boog Shambi will stop by. He'll be calling those KBO games, and we'll talk big picture MLB and the possibilities with him. Ariel Helwani will join us because the UFC will be back in action. And there's talk about a potential Mike Tyson comeback. All that stuff with Ariel at 11:30. So action-packed show for you today. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. Happy Taco Tuesday. The forces combine. Yesterday, may the force be with you. Today, Cinco de Mayo and Taco Tuesday are combining their forces. We'll get to all of it in a second because I've got questions for you. This segment brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, where they don't play any games, man. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So let's get right into this thing. I want to talk to Greg Bergman about the KBO. How long did you last watching the KBO? I was at four innings.
Four innings. Wow, you did well. I think I got through three. I think I did finish the fourth inning. Yeah. After the rain delay, I only made it through the fourth.
Yeah, I got to the fourth inning. I fell asleep with the TV on, woke up, and it was the seventh inning, and it was 4-0 Dinos. And I'm like, all right, I'm turning this off and just going to bed.
Hey, well, the Dinos won. We had a little side bet with no wager behind it.
Yeah.
And I was a Dino fan, so I get that win for the first one.
Congratulations. You and the Dinos. Everybody's jumping on the Dinos because of their mascot more than anything else, I believe the mascot is called Swole Daddy. I think that is the we'll ask Mina, but I'm pretty sure that is the translation. Swole Daddy.
That's even better. I had two reasons for it. I mean, dinosaurs. Come on, you got to be a fan of dinosaurs. And also, they start with D. Like so, ITFDB. It's time for Dodger baseball. It's time for Dino baseball. So
right.
It all just kind of worked for me there.
Right, right. How about the Doosan Bears? Aren't they supposed to lead the Dodgers of the KBO anyway?
I mean, I guess so. Mina will be able to let us know a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have her kind of relate teams to MLB teams.
Yeah, okay. We can have her do some of that stuff. So we got a lot of stuff to talk to Mina about. Laura, did you watch any of the KBO?
100% no. I fell asleep.
Good. That's fine. You don't have to watch any of it. I gave it a shot. The rain delay definitely hurt. If I would have been up a little late, look, I have small children. They get up at 6:37 in the morning. So I the chances of me making it past, you know, midnight are slim. And I came close to midnight, basically, and that was the end of my night. So,
yeah, you turn it on at 10 o'clock on ESPN, and you're thinking, great, I get some live sports, I get baseball, and then 2020 just socks you in the face again and says, no, rain delay.
Yeah, 2020 sucks. That's the bottom line. There's really no way to describe it. 2020, you bleeping suck. Bleep you. 2020 is what I would say. Okay. The hell with you. You are a bleep hole. The hell with you. Okay. So a couple of things that I want to get into. So yesterday we had Charles Barkley on, and I want to ask you and the audience, I need audience participation here, either via Twitter at Sedano or calling in at 877-710-ESPN. We have three things, and I want you to tell me which is the craziest of these three things. So let's start with what Barkley was talking about with us yesterday. So yesterday there was the story which we took calls on and we talked amongst ourselves about the Dolphins laying out this plan for social distancing and how they would let only 15,000 fans in to watch their games, you know, in a stadium that seats 65,000, and they would board. I shouldn't say they board. They will allow people to come in and out of the stadium, kind of like you would board and deplane a plane by rows, basically. And that means it'll take a while to get in and it'll take a while to get out. So here's what Barkley said about that plan. Let me hear what Charles said.
Well, I think, number one, that's a stupid idea. The greatest line I've heard recently was by Tim Kirchner, who does a fabulous job on baseball. And he said this, and I agree with him 100%. All these ideas are bad. We just going to have to take the best bad idea and start playing sports at some point. He says, there's no good way to do this. Everybody's got an idea. They're all bad ideas. We're just going to have to take the best bad idea and start playing sports. So that's a bad idea. I think, let's be realistic. We just want to play sports without fans for at least the next 2 to 3 months, at least at the fall at the earliest. Any sport that's going to be played in the next 2 to 3 months, you can't have fans. It's that simple.
So I'm with him. I think it's crazy. I think it is a stupid idea. But there were plenty of people that called in at the end of the show yesterday after Charles came on that said they would do it. I would say the majority of people that actually called in yesterday, outside of Ray in Granada Hills, who was a nurse, and we appreciate all the healthcare workers and the frontline folk who are out there, really all for us. And we thank you. And, of course, the first responders as well. But like outside of Ray and Granada Hills, who I thought made a lot of sense. And I am a person who will tell you how I feel. I am not a person that will tell you how you should feel. You should feel your own way, and you are allowed to feel your own way. I'm just simply here to tell you generally how I feel about things, and we can debate how you feel about them. But Bergman, would you agree the overwhelming group that called in at least said, yeah, I'm willing to do it. If it's 15,000 fans in a stadium, like, I'm willing to take that risk.
Yeah, it was insane. There was even one dude that was a Raider fan, shockingly, with me, you know, Raider fan. But he said he would wear a hazmat suit if he had to go to these games. It didn't matter. He was going to be at the game.
Yeah, it's a little much for me. So that's number one. So number two was also from Charles Barkley. We asked him about the story where Draymond Green said that in a mythical game against the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, that he and Steph would destroy, that's his quote, he would destroy Shaquille O'Neal in the pick and roll. And here's what Charles had to say about that.
Hey, man, I love Draymond. He's a good dude. He's really a good dude. He's annoying. he's a good guy, and he's a good player. But I always laugh when these guys who are role players start thinking they're better than they are. Listen, if you play with Magic and Kareem and Worthy, you got a championship ring, but you're really just lucky and blessed. So be lucky and blessed, and don't be walking around town, but, no, I could have been better. Like, no, you could have been better. You were lucky to play with Magic, Kareem, and Worthy. And if you got some rings, God bless you and good luck to you. But don't start thinking like, well, if I had been on another team, I would. No, you wouldn't have. You're just lucky.
Charles, he said recently that they would have killed Shaq and Kobe in the pick and roll. Him and Steph would have killed Shaq in the pick and roll if they faced each other in a finals.
Oh, see now he's just getting crazy. Listen, man. You see how, listen, and like I said, he's a good player, but you see his limitation when there's no Klay, Steph, and Kevin Durant out there. He's averaging a whole triple single out there without those guys. So, listen, like I say, I like his personality. I like his work ethic, but he's just getting a little full of himself right now.
So that one's crazy. Like, let's be real. Like, I like Draymond a lot, and I know Shaq has since responded to this too, saying that he's out of his mind. Like, look, I get that Shaq wasn't the greatest pick-and-roll defender at the end of his career, but and even in his prime, he wasn't the greatest at it, but he was still really good pick-and-roll. He was still a good defender. Like, I think we forget how good Shaq was in Orlando and how good Shaq was, especially with the Lakers during their three-peat. And I just feel like we just disrespect people from the past so easily now. So that's number two. So we've got people going into a stadium, even though it's only 15,000 at a football game. We've got Draymond saying that it is that he would destroy Shaq in the pick and roll. And then here's number three. So number three would be this: Mike Tyson comeback. All right. So here's the deal. I'm sure everyone's seen the viral video of Mike Tyson training and hitting the pads or whatever recently, but Mike Tyson's trainer, a guy who's working with him who is an old school boxing MMA type guy now, a trainer who trains some of the best MMA fighters at the moment, says, quote, Mike Tyson has the same speed, same power as guys 21 and 22 years old, he told Ariel Helwani, who's going to join us at 11:30. And they're not ruling out a Tyson comeback at 53. So for context, all I'm telling you is this, and the boxing fans can back me up on this. George Foreman was considered really old when he fought Evander Holyfield in the heavyweight division. And he was 42. Mike Tyson is 53 years old. This is absolutely insane. That said, sign me up. If an athletic, if a state athletic division will let him fight, I will watch it. Bernard Hopkins fought when he was 50. So I am, if they will sanction it, I will watch it just because I am curious. He is one of the most insane phenomenons I've ever seen in sports and I've ever seen clearly in boxing. Now, granted, I was, 9 years old when he first came onto the scene. And then when he lost to Buster Douglas, I was, 10 or so. But I remember vividly all the fights. I remember watching them back. I've seen them all. There was nothing like Mike Tyson in really since. Okay, now Muhammad Ali, obviously that era was different. But in the more modern era of professional boxing, there has never been a phenomenon like Mike Tyson. And I'm curious, do you also think it's crazy that he would come back at 53? Because I've seen that video and I'm like, it's just training. And he's going for an hour and 90 minutes apparently in real deal training. Would you want to see Mike Tyson come back at 53? Because I'm in on it if the state athletic commissions would sanction the bout, okay? And it's got to be like done somewhere where there's an actual athletic commission, not some random place in the middle of nowhere, like a bout where, you know, the doctors can be bought off or anything like that outside the country. I want a legitimate boxing sanction, a sanctioning committee to allow this to happen. If not, I'm not in on it. But what is crazier to you, Greg Bergman? Is it people willing to risk their lives to go into a football stadium like the Dolphins plan, 15,000 in a 65,000 seat stadium? Is it Draymond Green saying that they would destroy, the Warriors would destroy Shaq and Kobe, particularly Shaq, though, in the pick and roll? Or Mike Tyson considering a comeback at 53?
Man, these are all really crazy. All three of them are nuts. I got to go with the Mike Tyson one. Do you know what the Tyson Ranch is, George?
Yeah, it's a marijuana ranch. He grows marijuana there.
Yeah, this is what Mike Tyson does now. Mike Tyson has a marijuana ranch where he smokes $40,000 worth of weed a month at this point now. He is not a small dude that he used to be. He's not in the shape. I don't care how much he works out. This dude is not coming in and fighting anybody for real. But like you said, if it was on, I'd watch it.
Laura, which is the craziest of those three?
I'm debating between the Tyson because and then the Draymond, just because I'm a huge Laker fan. So
Draymond's kind of crazy, but I still think that 53-year-old Mike Tyson coming out of retirement was not something I expected to hear in 2020. that would probably be the one. For me, we'll ask Mina Kimes. We'll talk KBO with her. I do want to get your calls on that because after Mina, I want to take some calls. 877-710-ESPN. Which of those three is the craziest? What do you think about all of them? But which is the craziest? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So we'll talk to Mina about the KBO. She's a huge fan. We'll talk to Mina about Cam to the Rams, the Raiders draft, the Chargers draft, the Rams draft. We'll go around the league with her as well. We'll ask her which is the craziest of these three. Mina Kimes in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles, you can call them at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com. Mina Kimes joining us, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So Mina, before I get into the KBO and I get into some NFL with you, in the first segment, we were talking about which of these three things is crazier. So the first thing would be the Dolphins' plan of 15,000 people in a socially distanced stadium that seats 65,000 and getting in and out and dealing with all the potential hurdles of being in a stadium, bathrooms, things of that nature. Draymond Green saying that him and Steph Curry would destroy Shaq in the pick and roll in his prime, or Mike Tyson considering a comeback at 53 years old in 2020. Which of those three is the craziest?
Oh, Lord. Oh, boy. That feels like a tie. I'll go with Tyson because we're about to talk about that on HQ, and I watched the video, and he looked great. And then I remembered the last time he fought, he was in his 30s, and it didn't go well. So I don't see this going well for him either.
Yeah, I think that one is crazy just based on the number alone. Just to put into context here, you can use this on HQ. George Foreman, when he fought Evander Holyfield after being the grill guy, was only 42 years old when he fought prime Evander Holyfield. This is 11 years older than even when George Foreman fought. And back then, people thought Foreman was crazy for fighting at 42.
That is a great fact. Thanks. And I'll point out that he's now Levitard's age. That'll help, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll get you. I mean, if it was around the horn, you'd get points for that, but it's not. It's HQ. You'll just get laughs, which is fine. That works, too. All right, so let's talk KBO. Why is everyone in love with the Dinos?
I think it's because of their freaky mascot, to be honest, which kind of looks like a jacked what are the ones with the long necks? Brontosaurus? My dinosaur knowledge is not great. You know those
is it
guys
true?
With the long necks?
Yeah, I see it. Is it true, though, that his nickname, if you translate it into English, is actually Swole Daddy? I read that on the internet, but I don't know if I should believe it or not.
The true fact. You know, it's funny. The NC Dinos are a new team. So for those who don't know, I went to Korea a few years ago to write about Batflips for ESPN. Got to spend a lot of time watching the baseball there, which is a ton of fun, and they've got a great culture, and it's a small league, but there's a few new teams, and the NC Dinos are one of them. It was really cool last night, George, to see Eric Zane, who is now in the Nationals, came back to the U.S. in 2017 after playing for the Dinos and tore it up for the Brewers.
Yeah, he was, by the way, with the rain delay, the best part of that was my new favorite late night show is Ravitch, Perez, and Thames. Like, that to me is, I can see that every night, to be honest with you.
Oh, they were awesome. How great were our guys? Because that's, I mean, you got to think, they are calling baseball they've never called before from their houses without the support of, what they did was remarkable. And it was just so cool just to watch live sports, right? Like, we've been enjoying the docs and the draft and even horse to some degree, but nothing really compares to watching athletes actually play the game at the highest level.
So you on the ESPN Daily today, and of course, subscribe to the ESPN Daily, Mina's Daily podcast, and you can also subscribe to the football podcast because we'll talk some football with her here in a second. That's the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny. But a couple of things that you talked about today on the pod that I wanted to discuss with you was the bat flipping. So what was the genesis of the bat flipping in the league? Because obviously it's got everybody all excited.
Yeah, so a few years ago, the reason I did the story was there were all these videos of bat flips going viral, and it was right after Jose Bautista, Joey Bats, had that epic bat flip in the ALDS in 2015, which, of course, riled up all the old heads. I think Goose Gossage made many angry comments about that. But we were seeing in Korea, these guys were doing it, and they were doing it unapologetically and having a blast. So I went to Korea to find out why and where it all started, and it turned out it started with a single player who was excellent in the 1990s, and it kind of just grew from there, and it was nobody there thought it was taboo because nobody complained about it, which really kind of makes you think about MLB and why it's taboo in the first place. It's quite arbitrary.
And what about this ramen throwing? Explain this to me because I didn't see that yesterday.
The guy who first started it, the originator of the backflips, told me that he was so brash. He was kind of like the T.O. of Korean baseball, and fans used to throw ramen at him because they got so mad.
That's it? That's a pretty simple story. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it would be that simple. I thought it would be a more intricate reason as to why there was ramen throwing, but that's it.
All right.
We hate the guy. Yeah, we hate the guy. Here's some ramen. You know, I mean, all right, fine, fair enough. All right. So, like, are you? I mean, it was tough to stay up. I got to be honest with you. Now, I also have small children in the house, so at 6:30, they're you know, they're knocking at the door already. But you know, I did stay up for four innings, so I will give this more of a shot. I will probably end up watching more of the re-airs because these 2 a.m. starts or 1 a.m. starts are going to be tough for me. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it is tough for the East Coasters. And Jeff Passan, our colleague, put out a re-air schedule. And, you know, I think, look, you know, it's pretty easy to not be spoiled if you want to wait. And for those who are listening at home and kind of wondering about the quality of baseball, you know, it's been described to me as being pretty close to sort of AAA, maybe a little bit below it. You know, there have been Korean stars from the KBO who have come here, or Korean players. There have been American players who have gone there other than Eric Thames. You'll see some familiar names. And, you know, it is not the highest quality. It's not MLB, but it's something.
So, Mina, let's switch to football. Our boy Louis Riddick said the thing that got people stirred up here. Cam to the Rams. What do you make of Cam to the Rams? It sounds nice. I don't know how nice it would be, but what do you make of it?
I didn't see that. Really? Interesting.
Oh, on Get Up. On Get Up and Golic and Wingo. He doubled down on both morning shows.
Well, I'll say this. If Cam Newton can be had as a backup for, you know, just $1 million or whatever the going rate is these days with incentives, every single team in the NFL should be interested. So forget the Rams, right? Like, you know, it's absurd at this point how cheap some of these backup quarterbacks are. And he is a weapon. So at that value, there's no question to me that it would be worth having him on the roster. Although, and I think you and I have talked about this, I love the Rams' current backup quarterback, John Wolford, who was the starter in all the preseason games, I got to call it last year. I think he's really good. I was thrilled to see he's a number two. But again, if Cam Newton's there, you ride with Cam, you find ways to use him. He brings a, you know, fascinating complementary skill set to Goff. It's a no-brainer.
So you'd bring him in, even though it would cause a stir and a ruckus, and we'd all be there like you know, those murder hornets right now, and just like attacking, yeah. Right? Like you don't think that would be a problem?
If your quarterback can't withstand the pressure of having, you know, another very experienced quarterback in the room, that's his problem. That, Frank, I think this is not about Goff. I'm speaking generally about anyone. I think the only place where I draw a line on kind of sometimes bringing in the backup, the high quality backup, although again, I will say with Cam Newton, that caliber, that money, it doesn't matter, any team should do it, is when you have a rookie. Because if you've got like a Haskins or a Locke or, you know, Murray or whatever, and they struggle, there will be very loud calls, and you need to give them time to grow and see what you've got. Veterans are a different story. I think it's anyone's game.
Mina, what do you make of the Rams draft? Because I was arguing here with Greg Bergman. I like the Cam Akers pick. Clearly, they're doubling down on offense, and he wanted them to draft offensive linemen and linebackers in those second rounds. I'm like, yo, Sean McVay is going to Sean McVay. He's going to remind people, hey, I can draw plays too. So what did you make of their second round selections?
I liked it. I thought, I was not surprised, first of all, to see that they didn't go offensive line, because I think while a lot of people pointed to that as an area of weakness last year and a source of issues, there were a ton of injuries, and I think they've spent a lot of draft capital there over the last couple of years, not just last year, but the last couple of years. And I think they want to continue to developing those guys, win healthy, get some continuity, see what they have. I was, as far as Akers and Jefferson, you know, those offensive picks, Van Jefferson at ASU, perfect fit for the Rams doing offense. And so far as he's the kind of wide receiver who does everything, you know, he blocks, you can use him on screens, he'll run sweeps, he's tough. And they've shown that they like those attributes. Akers is interesting because I think you can argue, look, you know, positional value there, it's a little bit rich given some of their needs, but he is a phenomenal fit for that outside zone offense. And at FSU, he played behind terrible. It was an awful situation, awful line, and he's shown that he can play through that. And I think he brings an element of that toughness and being an every down back that can really open up their offense.
Mina, what about Ruggs over Judy?
I didn't get that at all. I wouldn't have done it. I mean, it made sense because it's the Raiders and they kind of go their own way. And I get the top end speed. And that's, you know, if you look around the NFL, there's such a premium on that right now. I think a lot of that is kind of looking at what the Chiefs have done. But I think Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are such phenomenal all around receivers. I would not have taken them second and third.
Sticking with receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. out there saying that it's going to be his best season ever. What do you make of his fit with the Stefanski offense?
I love those quotes. Like, what are we, he's going to say, it's going to be an okay season.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. We're content starved, Kimes, okay?
No, please. I know it. I love the Stefanski hire, and I think the Browns were undeniably the underachievers in the NFL last year when you look at the talent of that roster, especially amongst the skill players and what they produced. I think it's one of those teams where all you have to do is fix the coaching situation, which they did, I believe, and you're going to see the trickle-out effect of that. Baker regressed in a big way. Obviously, they took huge steps to address the offensive line of both tackle positions. And I'm pretty optimistic about that team. I'm leaning towards picking them to win their, not win the division perhaps, but certainly be a wild card team in the AFC.
Let's go a little rapid fire because I know you only got a couple more minutes here. Mina Kimes joining us here, kind enough to hang out with us. Check out her two podcasts, the ESPN Daily podcast, of course, and the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny, which is the football podcast. Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, collision course, Kimes. What do you make of the collision course there?
There's no collision course. I thought it was a great pick. Eagles fans are losing their minds, and I get it, right? Let me just say this, and I think this is something we've seen across the NFL, certainly in Green Bay, which I think is more arguably bad, but fans are more right to be sort of perturbed or worried. But teams value the quarterback position so differently from fans, and this cuts to your original question about Cam. Like, every team, quarterbacks get injured all the time. Teams, nobody cares about the backup until you need him. You never see fans saying, get us the best backup you can get. Eagles fans weren't clamoring for Nick Foles the year he went to the Super Bowl. It's just, you never know how valuable the player is until you need him. And beyond that, Hurts can be useful in the same way as, he's not Taysom Hill, but in terms of a complementary piece in short yardage situations, I do think they can find use for him. And he's an asset. There's nothing more valuable than a rookie quarterback with potential, and we've seen time and time again good teams flip them for picks down the road. I thought it made a ton of sense for them.
Eli saying that him not being in the room will help Daniel Jones. Is Eli giving himself a little too much importance?
I think, no. He's right insofar as, now Daniel Jones has clarity. He's the guy. Everyone knows he's going to start. They're building around him and his skill set, which is very different from Eli. So all that matters. But I laugh because Eli's so affable and so pleasant. Like, he's really not a difficult person to have in any room. So I don't think his absence, he casts this huge shadow necessarily. But he's right that Daniel Jones being the unquestioned number one from beginning will help.
Marshawn Lynch in talks to return to the Seahawks. Seahawk fan Mina Kimes, what say you?
If the price is right, sure. I think Marshawn Lynch. He was not super efficient last year. I think probably better off from a football perspective going with some younger guys. But culturally, he does bring a great element of leadership. He still got something in the tank. I'm not saying he wasn't totally inefficient. I'm just saying for Seattle in particular, I think they've got some younger players who they can lean on. He was awesome in Westworld, though.
He was awesome in Westworld. I did see the clip. Last one for you. The Andy Dalton signing with the Cowboys, how does that impact Dak and his situation?
It doesn't. I love this for Dallas. Again, with the teams and the backup quarterbacks, it's great to have a talented backup quarterback. It is awesome at that price. Huge for the Cowboys. For Dak, this doesn't change anything because they tagged him. He has until July to sign a long-term deal. And if he doesn't, and so Andy Dalton doesn't affect that at all, unless anyone truly believes that Dallas would want Andy to be their starter and replace him, which no one does. The only credible case is maybe if Dak was out for a couple games, Andy could tide us over a few games, and we could still compete at the high level we want. But after July, if there's no deal in place, there's no incentive for Dak Prescott to hold out for a couple games. He gains nothing from it, right? You're kind of in that Le'Veon territory. So it's not like Andy gives them insurance against a holdout, because the holdout will never happen.
Mina Kimes, ESPN Daily Podcast, subscribe to that. Mina Kimes Show with Lenny, subscribe to that. Kimes, thank you for the time. I got to run because I got to talk about the Bachelor creator trying to help Major League Baseball.
Okay, I look forward to that. Hi, George.
All right, see you. Thanks again. That's what we're getting to. The Bachelor creator wants to help jazz up Major League Baseball. We'll tell you what that's about in a second. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. There we go. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It also happens to be Taco Tuesday. All right, I want people to chime in today. Call in with a couple of things. So we've got a poll up. I'm actually stunned by this poll right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm stunned by the early results of this poll. So we asked in the first segment before Mina Kimes joined us, and thanks to Mina Kimes for joining us there, which of these is crazier? The Dolphins' plan of people going to a football game with 15,000 fans in a stadium, with 15,000 fans going in a 65,000-seat stadium, trying to social distance while going to a football game. Draymond Green saying he and Steph would destroy 2000 to 2001 Shaq in the pick and roll, or Mike Tyson possible boxing comeback at 53 years old. I mean, it is stunning that Draymond and Shaq, like Draymond versus Shaq, has 60.5% of the vote. Tyson comeback only 25%, and the Dolphins plan 14.6%. I am stunned that the Draymond and Shaq one is blowing everything out of the water here.
That is the power of the Lakers on Twitter.
Yeah.
The Lakers in LA, that's all people care about on Twitter. This Mike Tyson thing is insane. It's the craziest thing I've heard in quite some time, and we're in 2020. But that Draymond Shaq thing is always going to go with the Lakers. Always.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. Which of those three is the craziest? 877-710-3776. Also, I want you to chime in, help out some restaurants in need today, some Mexican restaurants that are going to be great for takeout today on Cinco de Mayo. We want to make sure to support the local businesses. So if you've got one in your neighborhood, shout it out right now. Like, shout it out. I want to make sure that you get it out there and we know where you're going, where you're headed. Feel free to hit us up regardless of what neighborhood you live in Southern California, 877-710-ESPN, and tell us which one of these three things is crazier. So we'll have
all
that.
Where's your go-to?
I mean, the Red Onion one in Palos Verdes is pretty good. I like that one. I like some of the little mom-and-pop ones. Look, there's a million little mom-and-pop ones. There's one that I go to in Harbor City called El Gallito, which is really good. It's super mom and pop. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of spots, but I just want people to shout them out. Like, just continue to shout it out. Laura, you said you have a spot. It's not even, I don't know if they do takeout at this spot though.
They don't. It's only for me. It's my mom's kitchen.
There you go.
Yeah, it's
mommy's kitchen.
You can't
get
better than real, authentic, my mom's homemade tacos.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I drive to your house tonight, and your mom won't just give me a bag of tacos?
She'll probably be like, who's that? No. No.
Hey, you wouldn't be like, hey, let's just let Greg have some tacos.
No, Greg.
The tacos are for everyone at the house. They're socially. How would you even get them, Greg? Is she going to leave them outside the doorstep for you?
She wears gloves.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't.
Hey, are you being weird that way? Are you just, you know?
No, I am a manager. I have things.
But,
I'm just kidding. You know, she wears gloves, put it in a bag, put it on the front porch.
I pick it up. What about you? Whereabouts are you? Would you go pick up today?
I'm going to pick up from Cactus Taqueria out right by here in Studio City. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Great tacos.
Yeah, there's plenty of spots. We want people to shout them out and give us your thoughts on which of those three are crazier. The Dolphins' plan of 15,000 fans in a 65,000-seat stadium to socially distance. Draymond saying he and Steph would destroy 2,000 Shaq in the pick and roll. And Mike Tyson possibly coming back at age 53 to box. You can vote at Sedano on Twitter, S-E-D-A-N-O. Hit me up on Instagram, too, at George Sedano. ESPN, that's at Jorge Sedano ESPN, or you can hit us up on the phones at 877-710-ESPN. Art is in Covina. What's up, Art?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Shout out for the Mexican restaurants in Covina, Rey Stepeyac, Pepe's, and Alberto's.
Oh, okay. I like it. Which one is...
Have a great day.
You too, buddy. Take care. Let me go to Charlie. Charlie, what do you got?
Hey there, George. West Adams, Taqueria Los Anaya.
Los Anaya. Okay, in West Adams. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. There you go. So, look, I want people to keep shouting us out because there are plenty of people listening, whether it's in their cars or on the app or whatever, and they are looking for places to eat today. And we can help the local restaurants. We can absolutely do that together. And you know I'm a big fan of that. We've been doing that kind of all along during this pandemic. We want to help the local restaurants, help the local community, and feed you, right? Real quick before I take a break, what is the drink of choice today? Greg Bergman.
Ooh, drink of choice. I'm going to go, I think we have a bottle of Casamigos in the
I have
shelf
a Casamigos. I go a little Casamigos on the rocks. What about cerveza, though? No cerveza?
Oh, no, then you got to go with a Modelo.
Right. Especial or a Modelo Negra?
Modelo Negra.
Okay. Laura, what's the drink of choice?
Tequila, Patron.
My Ooh, parents Patron. Are from high school, now, so. Is it silver or what are we doing there?
I have silver right now, so I have to go with that because that's what's at home.
Okay, fair enough. 877-710-ESPN, drink of choice. Shout out your taqueria or Mexican restaurant. Hit us up. Which one of these three is the craziest? I still can't believe that the Laker fans have invaded this poll. There's no way you can't tell me that Mike Tyson coming back at 53 years old is not crazier than Draymond Green. As crazy as Draymond Green is, saying that he would destroy Shaq in the pick and roll in his prime, I think that the Tyson thing just is insane to me. Next, we have The Bachelor creator helping Major League Baseball. And we also have the latest on Major League Baseball and the NBA from Ken Rosenthal and Shams Charania of The Athletic. They've got what seems to be a plan for both. We'll tell you what that's about. Boog Shambi will join us at 11 o'clock to talk some baseball too. Sedano, 710 ESPN, back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN television. And listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account at 8 o'clock. Presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. So we've got a poll up. You can vote at Sedano. S-E-D-A-N-O. Which of these is crazier? The Dolphins' plan of people going to a football game with 15,000 fans in a 65,000-seat stadium. Draymond Green saying he and Steph would destroy the 2000 version of Shaq in the pick and roll. And Mike Tyson on a possible comeback at 53 years old. Draymond over Shaq right now. Draymond and Shaq is 58% of the vote. So Tyson is inching a little closer, but still only 28% of the vote. And the Dolphins' plan at 14. You can vote there. You can hit us up on that. There's some news on Kevin Durant, potentially, that I'll get to in a second. But I want to talk about the creator of The Bachelor, apparently talking to Bill Shaken of the LA Times about trying to help Major League Baseball. Now, he is a baseball fan and the creator of The Bachelor, and he thinks that there are ways that he can jazz up Major League Baseball. You ready for this, Greg Bergman?
Let's do it.
So he is one of the TV executives that believes he could lead the way in reinventing Major League Baseball as entertainment, building a bigger audience, and inspiring dramatic changes that could outlast the COVID-19 pandemic. Even if none of this had happened, you could look at the ratings on baseball and see they're starting to trend downward. So it needs to be freshened up, it says here. So here are some of the things that they're discussing. Mike Fleiss, the creator and producer of The Bachelor, says this. If there's no crowd noise, you'll be able to hear all the trash talking. You might as well embrace it. Start miking up players and use directional microphones so you can hear everything that's being said. That's something the audience hasn't had before. Having been on field at games, hearing it is pretty exciting. That's the thing I think that would work best. So that's clear. I think there's no question Major League Baseball do that. So that's not crazy, right? So
that was great. They did that in spring training, and it was fantastic. And yes, absolutely, Mike.
Yeah,
players.
That's going to happen anyway. So I don't think that that's a big deal. Next, he said, I'd try to replace the excitement of fans screaming and the pulsating cheering with the inside scoop of what it really is like to be in the game and hear everything that's being said, even the stuff on the mound. Now, I feel like baseball would push back on the mound stuff. Like, I don't think that would work. Now, he said, obviously, in light of the Astros stuff, I could see that being a potential issue. Fleiss is aware that some players, including Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw and Angels outfielder Mike Trout, have objected to the possibility of a bubble environment in which they would be isolated from their families. For argument's sake, let's leave aside the issue of children and focus on players not seeing their wives or girlfriend for months. The biggest problem with why sports leagues will never do it is that I don't think players will be able to maintain quarantine. These guys are never going to be able to go cold turkey. You've got to be able to embrace the truth and make that part of the game. And what he's talking about is sex, okay? So Fleiss says, here's what you do. What you do is each game, you load up the stadium with their wives at a distance from, obviously from each other, socially distance them. There's no quarantine violation. The winning team gets to have their wives tested and then essentially have a conjugal visit. You can film all the girls. They're beautiful. They're in the stands, separated in their own sections or whatever. Those guys are now playing for more than pride of winning a baseball game. If you go on an 8-game losing streak, that's not good.
Yeah, if you go on an 8-game losing streak, you're going to be in some pain at home. Oh, man, that's brutal. I like it. It's funny. He's the Bachelor guy, so it makes sense.
Laurel, what do you make of the conjugal visit aspect of this version of Mike Fleiss's Major League Baseball reinvention?
I mean, you want the players to go and you want them to be motivated to win. There's no losing there.
Right, but what wife is going to subject themselves to that? Let's be real here.
Look, why not? It's your man. You want to make sure he wins. You win. We all win.
I get it. I think there would probably be a few because there's always like the fun, wacky, crazy wives that don't give a crap that people know about their personal lives. I mean, listen, I love Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. They're one of my favorite celebrity couples. I mean, they have openly talked about their sexual lives in ways that I would never have imagined anyone would have done it publicly. Okay? So, I mean, there are plenty of people like that, right? Who was the wide receiver that played for the Broncos whose wife, Eric Decker, right? His wife was all over the tabloids talking about their sex life and stuff like that before. So, I mean, there are wives that will do it. Like, I don't think there's any question about it. I just don't know if you'll get the overwhelming majority of the stars to do it. I think it would be hilarious. Because let's face it, we're all human, as you said, Laura. We all have sex as adults. I think we do. But you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just, it would be fun. No way Major League Baseball goes for it, but it would be tremendous.
I mean, if the guy, the creator of The Bachelor didn't come up with something along these lines, I would have been disappointed with this story. So I'm very happy that this is one of his ideas. And it, look.
I agree with Greg.
Fine. What was that?
Yeah, I agree with Greg.
Wait, say that one more time.
I agree with you, Greg.
Look at that, right, Greg. You see? You're not taking an L.
I know. All right, can we cut that up to go with the other ones?
No.
Oh, man. All right, that's fine.
I mean, listen, as silly as it sounds, I don't think it's that crazy, to be honest with you. Now, we had Dave Roberts on, and we asked him about a million of these different wacky scenarios, including the home run derby that Justin Turner was talking about. And he was all in on trying anything. I would think that Dave would probably draw the line at this one, but I think he'd get a good laugh out of it.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he might actually go. He's like, this is now the time to do things, try things out.
He did say that. We will just ultimately just assume that that's what he meant when he said those things, that we could try anything. Then the next person that Bill Chaiken spoke to was Scott Coffer, who is a television writer and producer, who is the executive producer of Boston Legal and the supervising producer of the show Arliss. Remember the show Arliss with Robert Wool that you share on HBO? So Coffer believes baseball could excite fans interested in being the only spectator at the ballpark. He proposes for each game that the home team would set up a contest or sweepstakes to select the designated fan. The home team would pick up, in a virus-safe way, a hermetically sealed stretch limo or whatever they want, a fan chosen well in advance. He could sit wherever he wanted, luxury box, stadium club, owner's box, front row, press box, anywhere he wants, he could move. One concession stand would be fully stocked, and the fan would come by and grab food or drinks whenever he or she wished. The fan would be announced on the public address system throughout the first pitch and be listed in the box score. The fan would be encouraged but not forced to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Baseball purists would probably hope, at least earnestly I do, that each day's designated fan would cowboy up and attempt to sing the song solo. As I know you're thinking, the lyrics would need a bit of a tweak. So I then he goes into singing the song. But anyway, what do you think about that? Like, one fan gets to be the designated fan. I don't think that's that crazy, to be honest, either.
Like, no,
that's way more doable than the conjugal visits. Like, I don't think they'll actually agree to that, even though I think it would be awesome.
Look, I love that idea. I think that idea is really good. I mean, where would you sit? Would you sit at the very, very top seats, or would you go, like, right down at the bottom?
I would go away from everybody. Give me the owner's box or something and just kind of be socially distant from the owner, and I'll hang out with the rich people. You know what I'm saying? And that would be my deal.
There are no rich people. It's just you. It's you by yourself.
Well, I'm sure the owner could be there. That is a possibility.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would want to change every inning. I would go to the very, very top one inning. I would sit right down the first baseline in another inning, and then I'd sit in the bleachers in another inning.
Yeah.
You know, just get the whole experience.
All right, 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard and chime in on this. Boog Shambi's going to join us in a couple of minutes at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to him about all this stuff. And then he's going to be doing games at this KBO games from home. Like, if you saw Ravitch yesterday and Eduardo Perez, they're doing it from home. I want him to do crazy things. I want him to start the broadcast with a mustache, shave in like the third inning. I want him to do wacky stuff. So send us suggestions that he could do, you know, make a smoothie in the middle of the broadcast. I want you to send suggestions at Sedano. But we've been asking for people to shout out their Cinco de Mayo spot today for takeout. Let's go to the phones here real quick and do it fast. Luis in San Marino. What's up, Luis?
Hey, how's it going, Sedano?
Hey, bud.
Hey, you said Harbor City, but have you been Tacos Goloso right there in Harbor City?
Oh, I have been, actually. It's, yeah, right on PCH. I've seen it. Yeah, and Anaheim.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, right there on 5 Points. Oh, those are good, man.
Yeah, yeah, that place is awesome, too.
You're talking
yeah.
About.
Yeah. Both places. And Gallito's good, too.
All right. I'm glad you've been there, man. Enjoy, and thank you for the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. All right, Michael in the OC. Michael, what's your shout-out?
Hey, excuse me, George. Perla's Tacos in Mission Viejo right off of Alicia on the 5 Freeway.
Awesome. Thank
you. That store is insane.
Awesome, and Michael. Go ahead.
Draymond is delusional. Draymond would get spanked by Shaq, without a doubt. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tyson would pull it off, but...
I'd like to see it, as crazy as it sounds. Thanks for the call, Michael. I appreciate it. All right, Boog Shambi will join us in 4 minutes.